Would you care for another Schnitzelgruben?
15 is my limit on Schnitzelgruben.
Oh, if you have any problems, dial information. Thank you for calling.
He's going to be very popular.
Mother of God.
Give my creation life!
Hello and welcome to Your Life Podcast, your weekly dose for all things travel,
food, and leisure.
We are your hosts. My name is Don Meyer.
And my name is Ari Meyer.
And thank you once again for joining us this week as we talk about
Spain and Portugal.
Spain and Portugal. Yes, we spent the last week, or last session, if you will, talking about the ABC Islands.
That's right.
We're going to take a little detour here. Go back to Europe, go back to mainland Europe, and go through our latest adventures in Spain and Portugal.
That was fantastic and definitely educational.
It was. And so before we get going on that, what made you kind of choose Spain and Portugal as our destination this time around?
You know, we've been to Barcelona.
Yep.
You kind of talked about how, you know, beautiful Madrid is, and then the women in Madrid are very beautiful.
Noticed a few attractive people. Yes, indeed,
And we love Spain, and our kids are learning Spanish.
Another added bonus,
for 2 years. And so, you know, let's put that to good use. And I used to learn Spanish. And we just wanted to explore more. Yeah. And I've always wanted to go to Portugal. I heard a lot of good things about Portugal. Yeah. And we really never had opportunity to venture out.
Yeah, exactly.
And so why not?
Sure. So what did we do? So we ended up booking a travel into Madrid and out of Portugal. So
that's right.
How did you come across this itinerary? What was the things that you were looking to accomplish on this?
Well, I think you and I talked about which major cities we want to hit.
Yeah.
Right? And then explore. So Sevilla and Madrid.
Absolutely.
Those two. And then Granada.
Yeah.
The Alhambra.
The Alhambra. We wanted to take a look at.
Yep. Yeah. I can't speak.
That's okay.
Yeah, the castle is spectacular.
Sí, and
so, you know, I've read about it. I've heard about that place, and then if we can plug that place into our, you know, the map.
Yeah.
Then why not, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then I think Toledo was kind of like a spontaneous place because we were able to find some time out of Madrid, and then we wanted to do some coastal side of
we wanted
Portugal.
To hit kind of south, if you will, and kind of ride the coast along a little bit. Right.
And then as I was doing the research, this town called Bagual popped up.
Right.
And one of the search engines, and we will talk about this.
Yeah.
But it was a beautiful place, wasn't it?
Oh man, so let's dive into it, man. Let's jump into it right away. And so, you know, for this tour, you know, a lot of times what we'll do is we'll get a package together, like if we're doing a cruise, or maybe we'll do an all-inclusive or something like that.
This time around,
very similar to what we did in Japan.
In Japan, right?
We decided we want to see stuff at our own pace, and we wanted to see the places that we wanted to see. So we flew into Madrid, as I said, and we rented a car.
Right.
And it, you know, we rented a like little minivan, if you will, or a little SUV kind of thing. We packed up the suitcases, packed up the kids, and we were in this van driving all over Spain and into Portugal.
Right. And then we thought about, we've done, you know, bus tour, like Trafalgar Insights. We could have done that, but then thought about, okay, we are bringing 3 kids.
Yep.
And we want to take our own time to take a look at each places.
Right.
As long as, or as short as we want. And we wanted the flexibility.
And didn't want the kids crammed in a van where they're just, you know, hustling around with other people and just stuck on their devices, you know, that sort of thing.
So we thought about it, and then there will be some, well, we try to cluster, right? 2 to 3 nights minimum in each location so that we are not just hopping from a hotel to hotel, pack, unpack.
Yeah.
And that's quite a hassle.
Yeah.
And so we try to
at least get a chance to see some stuff too.
Right.
That place.
So
yeah.
I plugged in about 3 nights in each location when we could, except for places like a Bagual. Or Alhambra. But I think all in all, it turned out great.
Oh man, it was right? fantastic.
So maybe we can start off by covering some of the useful local insights.
Sure,
that, sure. From this trip that we found that I wish I knew before getting out there, right? Some of the things that the travel guide books don't cover necessarily. Yeah. And traveling tips in Spain and Portugal.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, so first and most, not in the order of priority, but the restaurants do open or stay open late and dinners start late.
Very important tip. Yeah, there's a Spanish word they call siesta time.
So especially if you are going to be doing this type of trips and with traveling with kids, just bear in mind that the dinner time will be late. And then we tend to eat dinner late, so it worked out fine with us.
But for those of you who don't, siesta time is usually right after lunch until about, well, it's like 2:33 o'clock until about 5 p.m.
I'm sorry. Yeah, the shops and businesses are usually closed from like a 2 to 5 or 3 to, it all depends on the area. Right, but in general.
But everything kind of shuts down, if you will. The restaurants close down as well. And so, you know, when you're out and about, just take that into consideration. If you want, there's snack shops, little coffee shops and stuff like that you can get. But major, you know, like big meals and stuff like that.
The restaurants are closed like 4 to 8.
Yeah, yeah.
And the lunch also starts kind of late, right? They don't open 10:30 or...
No, it's like...
Like more like a 12:30 day.
Yeah, noon or 12:30 exactly. Yeah.
And hours vary a bit depending on the area again. And when we were in, was it a Sevilla? Even in Granada, some of the restaurants in the touristy area do stay open. Mm-hmm. Some of them do.
Sure.
So you may luck out, but the majority of the time, the restaurants do shut down.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so you know you might find a coffee shop or something like that you can grab a little snack or something like that. But usually, if you want a full meal, you want a sit-down meal, you got to plan it for lunch and you got to plan it for dinner. And those dinners are usually late and for good reason. The meals themselves are an adventure, if you will. They're long. It takes some time to sit down and some time to
enjoy your meals.
Man, it is wonderful.
It's great.
Wonderful experience.
Sip wine
exactly. Get a sangria, glass of wine.
Appetizers to dessert. So, one of the restaurants that we've tried in Madrid, it's apparently the oldest restaurant in the world, right?
Yeah.
According to the Guinness Book. And it's called Botín.
Botín, yes.
Right. So, we took a cab. Oh, so that's another thing. We were going to go through the local insights and then useful travel tips. So, let's just continue on that.
Sure.
Okay. So, we talked about the siesta time. English is also not well spoken in certain areas.
True.
Especially in places like Toledo, Cordoba, where our car almost got stuck in the alley. So we're going to get into that too. But the smaller towns between major cities, it'll come in handy to know some Spanish.
True.
Language. Parking, another thing I wanted to touch on, in certain major cities can be challenging.
Yes.
And parking spaces are tiny.
Yeah,
Cordoba.
Well, we'll get into that too. I mean, if you think about it, especially in Madrid, Madrid's a very large city. I think the last census was around 3.3 million people living in and around Madrid. The if you include the suburbs, it's roughly about 6.5 million people. So it's a very populated place. It's one of the biggest cities in all of Europe. And so parking is a premium. And so if you're going to be driving around, you know, make sure that you take that into consideration when looking for places to park. It's probably better to walk or take a cab.
Yeah.
And not
Seville,
have to worry.
Sevilla and Madrid.
Yep.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right? And then Cordoba. Oh, my goodness. So some streets are too narrow for certain type of cars to go through.
Yeah.
Even though your GPS, that's another thing. You know, you should rent this GPS from a rental car company. It came in so useful.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll tell you, the system will tell you, yes, you should go through this street. But they don't know what type of car you are driving. So, yeah, if you are driving a Mini Cooper.
Yeah, you're probably fine.
You're fine. But if you have a minivan.
A little larger than
we
it.
We literally had like a 1 centimeter on the both side of the car. We almost scraped the rental car. We did not.
Yeah, no, we did not.
But so just be careful what your GPS says.
Yeah, and if in doubt, have someone come out of the vehicle and take a look at both sides and see if you'll fit through. If not, back up and get the heck out of there.
Just like what we did.
Yeah, indeed.
And most taxis, so I wanted to also talk about taxis. I wish I knew. So we always travel, the party of five, three kids, two adults. In Madrid, there are no taxis. Was it the Madrid? Definitely not in Sevilla.
No, in Madrid we were able to get a few.
One way.
We could.
But it was hard to come by.
Yeah, if you go to a hotel and you request a taxi for five people, they'll find one. There are some around.
But it's almost impossible to find on your own on the street.
Yeah,
right?
it's tough.
To flag it down. So if you're traveling with
large party,
you know, three or more, right, kids?
Yep.
You will definitely need to take two taxis. So I wish I knew, right?
Yeah.
And also places like Granada. We were thinking, okay, I booked the pretty hotel close to the attraction.
Yep.
And just thinking, okay, next day we're just going to drive up there. And you can't.
Correct.
You are not allowed to go to Alhambra Castle, for example, by driving your own car.
Right, right.
And you need it to... you know, get on the taxi. And then I think that's another place where you need two taxis.
We needed two taxis getting up there. Exactly, yeah.
Right. So, you know, little thing like that. But still, I think it would have been useful had I known.
Yeah.
Right? And most taxis take credit cards, which
is
nice.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah, so which was convenient. Then most lemonade. I don't know about your kids, but one of our kids... can't drink bubbles.
Yeah.
No
not a fan
soda.
Of the carbonated sodas or
so
bubbly waters.
Most lemonade, I think, all came with gas.
Yeah, or it's Sprite, basically.
Yeah.
Sprite or 7-Up.
So that was another thing. Not that it was a problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, every meal, he just had to kind of, okay, then water then.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's another thing, too. If you want, or if your kids aren't, you know, big on sodas, don't like carbonated drinks, stick with water. And water, they'll ask if you want it con gas or you want it just plain.
Right. They don't serve tap.
So yeah, you'll get a choice of with gas, which doesn't mean that they're farting in it. It just means that it's got bubbles in it. Or you get
con
it
gas.
You get it plain, which has no bubbles in it. Just still water, if you will.
Oh, another thing, talking of kids and menu, there are no kids menus.
Not very many,
we found. So then you just have to order something and share. But
yeah.
That's another thing I've noticed. Right?
Yeah, and we have a small one, so she doesn't eat a full-size portion. So sometimes
right.
It's good to have a little kid-size thing or
right.
A little kid's type of offering.
But
some
we
places
ended up,
had them.
Yeah, we ended up ordering a full-size salmon dish,
yeah,
for
and
example.
Yeah, splitting a little bit
yeah.
with her.
So that was another thing I found out.
Yeah.
Right, or we found out. And we talked about they don't drink or serve tap water.
Right.
So all the water, it will be order, right?
Yep.
In a large or different sizes, sometimes they come in. Another nice thing that I thought about that was useful at some of the beaches in Spain and Portugal was that you can rent beach chairs and umbrellas.
Yeah.
You do have to go probably early. Those things could run out, right?
Yep.
But at certain beaches, they were available and many get full fast. So just try to go there by late morning if you can, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you usually pay cash for it.
Each time we rented or were able to rent the chairs and umbrellas, yeah, we had to pay cash for it. And there's a guy that'll be walking around. You'll see chair areas. And just look for some guy walking around with a vest or a blazer or something like that. He'll come by and help
right.
you out and tell you what the fees are. And I think it was, about 15 euros for the day, if that?
I thought the chairs were like a 10 and the umbrella was like a 15. So it was
something
like a 25.
That. Something like that,
together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't too bad. Wasn't
yeah, it wasn't
and it's
too
for
bad.
The whole day. So
yeah, it's a whole day. So
it worked out well.
Yeah. So I think those are the, some of the tips that we thought would be useful to know.
Yeah, and another thing to take into consideration too, if you're renting a car, something that you pointed out, do take advantage of the GPS system. Yes. And some GPS systems can also
come with Wi-Fi.
Work with, work as a MiFi or a personal hotspot,
so like
if you will.
Yeah, so
you
that was handy.
Connect
that
to your phone, you can connect to your own GPS devices as well if you don't want to hear the Spanish equivalents and that sort of thing. So that worked out really well. And they'll connect up to 5 devices, I think, so that you can have that with you. It does work in Portugal as well. So if you're going to drive like we did from Spain into Portugal, the GPS will work too. You just tell them that you're going to be doing that and they'll be able to set that up for you.
Yeah, but like we did, if you rent a car in Spain, the Wi-Fi doesn't work in Portugal. It has to be the system that was from Portugal. So that's why
that's
it wasn't
right.
connecting in Portugal.
Yeah, the GPS worked fine, but the Wi-Fi did not. Yeah, and once you got into Portugal,
I'm sorry, the Wi-Fi.
Yep.
Didn't work.
Correct, yeah. GPS was fine.
Yeah, GPS is fine, but the Wi-Fi, yes. It has to be from that country.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's one thing to take into consideration. Rental cars as well, do make it a point to check to see whether it's a manual transmission or an automatic transmission.
We knew
that. I think by default, most of the vehicles will default to a manual. So if you're not comfortable driving stick, especially in a different country, probably a good idea to make sure that you request the manual or the automatic transmissions. Other than that, renting a car in Spain, very easy. If you're coming from America, they drive on the left-hand side of the car, on the right-hand side of the road. So it's very, very comfortable, very familiar. Everything is where it should be. The road signs are very clear. They're in, Romanized language. So easy to get around. And if you have that GPS device, oh my God, what a godsend. Just everywhere you want to go, just program in and away you are. Off you are.
And then your cell phone.
Yep. And I have my cell phone connected.
So we doubled up on those.
So it was great. It was very convenient. Yep. Driving around, easy. Very, very easy. There's roundabouts and stuff like that. So, I mean, if you're not comfortable with that just yet, it's not difficult. Just stay off in the right-hand lanes and all that. Otherwise, follow the signs. Get your GPS programmed in. And driving through Madrid is a little tricky because there's a lot of traffic. So give yourself a little bit of time. And make sure if you're going through some of the tunnels, know in advance which lane you want to get to, because that was a little tricky from time to time.
Well, maybe it's just me, but if I were driving, I didn't feel comfortable driving in, I wouldn't have, in Madrid. I think especially once you're on the freeway, because people drive so fast, and then you're trying to look for the exit. Okay, am I going to this way to go to Toledo or whatever?
Right.
Remember, you were really frustrated that some people just come, up on your tail or just get very close to you or they're right next to you and passing through.
Yeah, and if you're not familiar with the roads, the exit ramps really exit. I mean, they don't give you a whole lot of warning and you're off the freeway.
It comes up, right there.
So just don't panic. If you make a wrong turn, your GPS will automatically recorrect for you and get you back where you need to go. So don't panic. Just take it easy. Have fun.
So compared to, I know this is comparing to Kyushu. Kyushu was, that's the southernmost island of Japan. Driving, renting a car was super easy.
Yeah.
But I found big cities in Spain to be, I wouldn't. I think you are okay because you're a guy, you're a good driver. Not that I'm a bad driver, but just the comfort, level for me. I thought it was just pretty aggressive in Madrid and Sevilla.
They are aggressive. That's a good point. If you're not a comfortable being around aggressive drivers, probably better to just kind of rent taxis and that sort of thing and just drive on the outskirts.
So those are our local insights and tips. Right? That we wanted to share. So let's dive into individual cities.
So our itinerary,
visited. So as Don was mentioning, we started our trip in Madrid.
Yes,
so
the capital city of Spain. Yes.
How was Madrid? So this one, I actually didn't pre-book any tours. That's another thing. Oh, yeah, we should mention that places like such as Alhambra, tickets do sell out, or you have a long wait, like a Peña Palace.
The Peña Palace, it was
in Sintra in Portugal, which is a beautiful castle, the palace.
Mm-hmm.
So there are three places we will highlight, but that I pre-purchased the tickets actually almost like a month in advance. I don't know if that was necessary, but I heard that they might sell out 3 weeks in advance sometimes.
Sure.
So, I just wanted to note.
Yeah, so some places you definitely want to do a little bit of research and make sure that you can get tickets in advance, because sometimes if you go there, you may not be able to get in or may not be able to see the attraction.
Yes.
So for us, we've started our Spanish-Portuguese adventure in Madrid.
Right.
Flew into the Madrid airport via Zurich, if I'm not mistaken, and got to the baggage claim, got through customs, got our rental car, and off we were. We ended up staying at a hotel, which was within walking distance of the palace. And by walking distance, I mean my kind of walking distance. I like to walk.
You make us
walk,
like miles.
It's a mile or so away from the hotel. It wasn't too bad.
But
the walk
exercise
was pretty good, absolutely. And it got us towards central part of Madrid. And we ended up going to the palace, the Royal
Palace of Madrid.
We saw the cathedral next door, Plaza Mayor. Mm-hmm. We saw the Mercado de San Miguel.
San Miguel, that's what we did the first night.
That's right, that's right, where we got some tapas there. And we just kind of bopped around, just walked where we thought things looked interesting and took some pretty cool pictures.
Right. So we first went to Royal Palace of Madrid.
Right.
And from there, I think we walk towards, was that the Mercado San Miguel? I think Plaza Mayor, those are in a general, similar
yep.
direction. But the streets that leading onto those Plaza Mayor direction,
mm-hmm.
there are a lot of cool shops.
Oh, man.
That you can, hop in and out. And we found some cool t-shirt place.
Yeah.
But it's not those typical, it says Spain across. It was actually a bullfight. Print. It's got the printing of bulls, but kind of like a, how do you call it, silhouette?
Yeah, yeah, like a bull. Like...
And nothing tacky.
Yeah, it was really cool.
And it
cool.
was great quality. I forgot the name of the store, but...
it was Toro, I thought, wasn't it? Toro
that
something
wasn't it?
Other than... Yeah, something like
but
that.
Anyway. But there are a lot of good stores, and then the leather, like a handbag shops, and... so Spain, leather. Yeah, they're good quality.
Indeed.
Shoes or bags, handbags. And so for me, that was really fun.
Yeah, that was really nice. So, if you get to the Royal Palace and you keep walking down the Calle de, whatever it is, Balien, get to Calle Mayor, and that'll take you right to the Plaza Mayor.
Yes.
And around Plaza Mayor is the Mercado San Miguel. And the reason I keep calling that out is it's a really cool tapas market. It's got it's an enclosed market, so you can go in, and it's open pretty late. And it's just tapas stuff. You just go to counter to counter to counter buying, food and sweets and drinks and all
and
sorts
you have
of stuff.
Glass of sangrias
or beer
wine
or something.
Or
yeah,
beer and or kids. You can find milk,
juice or milk. Yeah,
juice. So we got milk for our daughter, and then juice for the kids.
Yep.
And then I had the sangrias was amazing.
Yes.
And then we had those empanadas.
Oh, the empanadas! Yeah,
that was so good.
Yes.
And then they have prosciuttos. A lot of cured meat section and bread and cheese.
Yes, yes.
Tons of selections.
Yeah,
right?
Really, really
and
nice.
And there are tables in the middle, and then you just stand there, or maybe there are some sitting down area, and it's got mist.
Yeah,
from
especially
the top.
During the summertime.
Yeah, so it gets hot.
It gets warm, yeah.
But really super clean. There are some beggars outside. But
there's beggars around, but...
Yeah,
you'll see that. Oh,
but,
that's another thing, too, talking of beggars. When we...
Pickpocketing?
Pickpocketing is another thing. You got to keep your mitts about you. In Plaza Mayor, they're very friendly. A lot of friendly people walk right up to tourists or people who they peg as tourists right away and start saying, "Hey, my friend, where are you from? Oh, my friends are from California.
God, yes.
Oh, you're so great. Oh, you're so wonderful. You go to Africa. You come with me here. Take this thing."
I don't believe you just went along with it. That was obvious.
Well, I know, but I'm a sap. So what can I say?
You are.
I know. So be careful of people walking up to you and offering you
things.
So what
happened? He will just slide in 10 bracelets on your wrist and then he asked for money?
Of course.
Oh.
So yeah, there's a lot of hustlers out there as well, yeah, looking for some easy cash. So don't fall prey to people walking up to you and offering you necklaces for free and trying to tell you stuff. Yeah, just sorry, I don't
nothing
understand.
Is free.
Nothing is free in life. And you got better things to do than to sit there and waste your time talking to these guys. There's so much more to see, so many things to do. So it's really kind
of
cool.
A lot of great gelato, ice cream places. Oh, yes. There are so many in Spain. And in Portugal, too.
Yeah, we found a lot in Portugal. Yeah.
But I've noticed in Sevilla, Madrid, Granada, everywhere, Cordoba.
Yeah.
Everywhere we went, oh, great ice cream.
Really, selection. Really good. Yep.
So if you love ice cream, you will be in heaven.
You certainly will.
Yes. So Mercado San Miguel, not to miss.
No.
Not to be missed. And we also, yes, so we kind of briefly mentioned about this. So as far as restaurants go, there are so many to choose from, but a lot of tapas place to choose, right?
Yep.
Obviously. The one that we chose, it's a restaurant called Botin. This is not tapas necessarily, but it's a world oldest restaurant.
Yes.
And a suckling pig.
Dish is one
of their specialties, and in some steaks, and but I think it's the experience.
Oh my lord! Yeah,
the suckling pig was excellent, but steak, in my opinion, it was nothing spectacular. Mm. But the atmosphere, the oldest, like a really old building.
Yeah,
and then you get to go see the kitchen.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
The whole experience, I think it's worth it. The waiter was very friendly. Oh, that's another thing. In Spain, you pay for, I think, margarine and bread.
Yes, you do.
And
that's
then you can choose.
You can choose.
So those
right.
don't just come automatically. So if you're expecting, where's my bread?
You have to order it. Yeah. Yeah, and the restaurant was on the Cava de San Miguel Street. It's right next to the plaza or the San Miguel market.
Yeah.
It's just a little bit down that street.
That's
there.
Right.
And there's a ton of restaurants that were there too, and places that I think if we go back, we'd love to try and check out. There's Italian places, there's tapas places, there's Spanish places, all sorts of different cuisines all up and down the street. It's really quaint. It's open till, geez, who knows? I mean, we were there at midnight, and there were still people hobnobbing about inside the restaurants. So I think that it's one of those places that right by the Plaza Mayor, right by the San Miguel market, it just that area in the central part of Madrid, just vibrant, alive, so much to see,
lots of
shops, lots of restaurants, really cool.
Really fun. And you can do those hop on, hop off the bus, you can buy the ticket. We didn't do that.
No, we did not.
But you can definitely do that in Sevilla and Madrid, we saw.
Yep, that's right.
I didn't see in other cities, but so that might also come in handy.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. So another thing. Oh, we really liked, we like Hard Rock Cafe. And we went once in the Madrid, maybe one of the cities we went twice, didn't we? But then we also went to the one
Seville.
In Sevilla.
Yeah.
And they did a good job.
Yeah, they did.
So,
they did a real good job.
Yeah. So, if you miss American food.
Yeah, yeah. Not that you would have to,
but
the kids in tow, it was is just a convenient thing to just kind of get them some comfort food.
Right.
So that we could go explore more.
Right. So, anything more to add to Madrid?
Yeah, one other place to check out if you're into shopping might be the Puerta del Sol. We took a walk down Calle Mayor. Puerta del Sol kind of opens up at the end of, not at the end of it, but towards the end of Calle Mayor. And just lots of shops, lots and lots of shops around there. In not just, Western-style shops, there's local shops as well. So there's a lot of stuff to check out there. One thing that really struck me was the quality of the street musicians there. Oh, my God.
Oh, they were good.
There was one gal who was playing a violin, and she was playing it to modern music, and she was fantastic. It was just so much fun just walking around there. We ended up just bopping around there looking at the different shops. I think we grabbed some ice cream there and walked on back towards the hotel.
So in total in Madrid, we only stayed two nights because we wanted to go to Granada.
Yeah.
So we made the choice to, initially I booked 3 nights in Madrid, but we reduced it to 2. Then we stayed 1 night, which was the next destination after Madrid to Granada. So the first day we went to the Mercado San Miguel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second day we did the city tour all day. And we went to, those restaurants that we mentioned. And then what happened? Then in the next day.
Yeah, next day we were debating, okay, should we still bop around or should we check something else out? Something that we may not have an opportunity to take a look at.
Right.
So we asked at the hotel, should we go north? Should we go south? Where should we go? And we decided we're going to go to Toledo just for a whim, to go
so
check it out.
Yeah, so actually in the afternoon we decided to go.
Yep.
The second day, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then that was a great decision.
Oh my gosh.
So Toledo is a great destination if you have a few nights to stay in Madrid. And I think those tour companies like Trafalgar or Insights tend to include this destination as a part of the tour.
Yeah, and for good reason. I mean, Toledo is a really interesting place. It is an old city.
It's a UNESCO, World Heritage Site.
It's a World Heritage Site.
And it's Jewish, sorry, I don't mean to cut you off,
no,
but
please.
Muslim and Christian culture all coming to mush together.
Né? Yeah. It is known as the Imperial City for having been the main venue of the court of Charles V, the Holy Roman Emperor, and as the city of the three cultures. It had existed, to your point, Jewish culture, Muslim culture, and Christian culture, Catholic cultures, for a very, very long time. And it was also the capital from 542 to 725 AD of the ancient Visigoth kingdom. The Visigoths or the Muslims had conquered that part of the world, it became a very important cultural center. So a lot of that culture, a lot of that heritage is still there and still preserved. And it's really on display as you
very
walk through
ancient,
the old town. Yeah, it's really quite
city.
Quite beautiful.
Right. And is that the city that they sell a lot of swords?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
there's a lot of sword making that's still there. It's up on that hill, and you're walking up and down the hill there.
And it's very hilly, It's very characteristic that the little streets that go up and down.
Yes.
And you can get lost. Well, I can get lost.
You could get lost.
Yeah.
We ended up,
you okay, yeah, but, yeah, you know, thank God I was with you. Yeah, but some of the views that you get from this narrow, how shall one say, even like on top of the stairs, and then you kind of look down at the city.
Yeah.
It was quite spectacular.
Yeah, quite beautiful. So
yes,
we were fortunate. We ended up just driving into town. I didn't quite know what to expect as the driver, where to go, what to do. I saw that, you know, there was a some kind of fort or some kind of military base or something like that that was up on top of a hill. So I figured, okay, we'll just go there. And we went there and we found a place to park and we walked around.
Yeah, we went all the way to the top. Oh my God, the view. I know you had to drive.
Yeah.
But the view is just breathtaking.
Yeah, very,
and
very
so,
cool.
So take lots of pictures as you go up the hill because you don't necessarily, I was able to get the similar picture going down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then the parking, there was a one all the way to the top next to a hotel.
Yeah, well, we parked right outside the Alcazar de Toledo, which is a 16th century former fortified royal palace, and you can't miss it. It's like I said, it's this big thing up on the top of a hill. It's got four huge points at the corners, and it was just an interesting landmark to just kind of drive towards.
Right.
And it's in the old town, so I figured we'll go over there, see whether or not there's a place to park, and boom, we found a place there to park, and we walked all over the place.
It worked out. And then for those of you who don't drive, you don't choose to rent a car, there's from Madrid, you can take a high-speed train. It's 30 minutes.
That's right.
And €20 around there round trip, or you can take a bus.
Correct.
So there are a couple of ways to get there too. So one of our friends just said, "Oh, we did everything by train." So, you know, train is another way. If we weren't with our kids, we might have taken that route too, right?
Yeah. I think it was just a little bit more convenient to pack everyone in the car and just kind of stay together.
Mm-hmm.
So we started off at the Alcazar de Toledo. We walked through the town. I mean, the old town is just magnificent. To your point, there's a lot of sword shops. There's a lot of coat of arms things and a lot of medieval type of souvenirs that you can get there, which is kind of neat, especially for the little ones to take a look at.
Mm-hmm.
The
boys got a kick out of it.
Absolutely. And the streets themselves are narrow and they're windy, and it's really quite spectacular. We saw the cathedral. I think it's Santa Iglesia Cathedral. In the distance through these little buildings and stuff. Took some great pictures of that and ended up walking around the cathedral itself. It's quite beautiful.
It was.
Yeah.
It was a trip that well worth it, and it's a UNESCO World Heritage Site.
Indeed.
So definitely a good location to visit.
Good location to visit. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Yes. Go there.
Absolutely. It's definitely worth a day trip. And it only took, about an hour?
An hour and 20 minutes.
Yeah. To get there from Madrid, Central Madrid.
Well, you were kind of booking too.
Wait a minute. Yeah.
Okay. So
Toledo, great day trip outside of Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
So after the second day in Madrid, we packed up and we ended up going
to Granada.
Granada.
So this is the place that I've used the company called Get Your Guide. That's the website I visited and purchased tickets in advance to visit. And then I think I experienced for all three tours that we've taken. This was our first one through this company, Get Your Guide. Alhambra and then General Life, a three-hour guided tour.
Oh, right.
It was $316.45 for four. They consider 12 and up as four adults.
Yep.
And then youth is age 2 to 11. So it's a three-hour long. Walking tour. You get to see a lot. Views were magnificent.
So before we talk about that, let's just, if no one's familiar with it, the Alhambra, it's an ancient Arab citadel palace, if you will. It's on a hill in Granada. And it actually dates back, I think, to what they said, the Roman times. The Romans had actually kind of started building a fortress up there. And then the Arabs came and conquered that and took it over and completed the construction of this magnificent palace. Well, when the Christians took over again, they completed the palace and built out some more of it. So it's got this really interesting mix of Roman and Arab and Christian architectures and styles and all that stuff all kind of smushed together. It's really, really quite fascinating. And again, it is another one of those important historical, is it a UNESCO World Heritage Site as well?
Yes.
Indeed.
I'm pretty sure it is.
Definitely, definitely worth the visit.
So that was the longest leg. Each destination that we chose to go from place to place. This was 4 hours roughly. It's a 420 kilometers long from Madrid by car.
That took a couple hours getting down there, I remember.
Yeah, so that was probably the longest, but it's so worth it. It's kind of straight down from Madrid, you know, if you're looking at the map.
Right. And to your point earlier, I mean, we wanted to hug the coast and kind of get a coastal view of Spain along the Mediterranean and into the Atlantic. So we chose to go southern Spain so that we could experience some of these things like Granada, like Seville and others as well.
Right. And Granada, oh my God, the architecture,
sure.
The buildings and the churches and then the whole downtown area. What did you think of it?
Loved it. Yeah, and aside from Alhambra, I mean, Alhambra is amazing. You got to spend a day there just walking around it. But we got there kind of late in the afternoon, and we checked into the hotel, and we bopped around a little bit looking at the city, especially where we were. And we were just south of the Alhambra Hill, just below it, if you will. So it's kind of an older part of Granada, and man, was it beautiful. We walked all over the place, and we got to in and out of Different shops. We found some more ice cream, gelato stuff.
Cathedral de Granada.
It was incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the shopping was great. And I don't know what, but there are so many anime
shops. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
We found in Spain. Eh?
That was interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Our kids are into Goku and stuff like that. And then they were able to find a print.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And figurines, and then certain pockets, right? Each town, you find these older, like a toy store or a t-shirt/toy store.
Yeah,
I thought that was kind of neat.
Yeah, it was different. Yeah, it was unexpected to see that there's, you know, Japanese anime in southern Spain. Why not? Why shouldn't there be? Right? Exactly.
I know. So going back to Alhambra and general life, lots of walking, right?
Yes.
This is the place that we were talking about that tickets do sell out. So purchase these tickets in advance, and you cannot drive there. You need to take taxis to get there.
Or you can walk.
It's a long walk.
It's a bit of a walk because it's up on top of a hill.
Yes.
So if you're into exercise, boy, there's plenty there for you. And plus, the tour itself is 3 hours plus of just walking. So you'll definitely get your exercise in, yeah.
But yes, the way how you do it, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, my goodness. But anyway, anything you want to say about the tour or?
Oh my gosh. First and foremost, the grounds of Granada are gorgeous. It is, it's a flowery paradise. The Arabs, I guess it was Sultan Palace, and then the conquering Christians built these magnificent gardens all over the place to celebrate, you know, life and hunts and blah, 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 blah. There's a garden side of it. Then the palaces themselves. Oh my God, are they gorgeous, well-preserved. The Arab palace is you can see all the Arab structure and all the mosaics inside, just absolutely gorgeous.
Mesmerizing.
It's incredible. And I tell you, the 3 hours that we spent there just flew by, because every corner you go around, there's something else to take a look at, something really cool to experience. And the views of old Granada around it were just absolutely spectacular.
Right, from the top, right?
Yeah.
You can see that the town... Or the city.
Yes, exactly.
Right, from up above. And then that water fountain in the middle of this general life with the buildings around.
Yeah.
And then in the center is this water. It's not the pond, but how do you call it?
Yeah, it was like a reflecting pond. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then just how ornate, right?
It was incredible.
Oh,
it's good to be the king.
Good to be the king. Yeah. Oh, and then is that the place that it's always a brother killing brother.
Was that the place?
Or was that the Sevilla?
That was Seville. Sevilla, yeah.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, good to be king.
Good to be king, and nonetheless, yes. So Alhambra, definitely well worth the visit. And again, the gardens themselves, you do have to take a look at the gardens. There's an amphitheater there, too. They do concerts during the summer, so you may look out and they may have a concert going on, too. They do some flamenco dancing or something like that and have some really interesting shows. So you, again, may look out and may get a chance to take a look at that.
And downtown is so charming.
Oh, man.
Walk around. Lots of restaurants lots of shops
lots of cool
for
things to
all
see.
Ages.
Yeah, indeed.
Yeah. And great ice cream stuff.
Great ice cream stuff. And definitely the Cathedral de Granada is well worth it. It's a magnificent cathedral. Really, really beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It is a... lavish kind of Renaissance cathedral, a lot of gold and white inside. It's really quite beautiful, and it's known for its stained glass dome chapel, which you have to see to believe. It is quite spectacular.
Right.
And then around there, we found some great restaurants and some good pizzerias around there, some other tapas places.
I love those outdoor seatings, you know, and sangria.
And sangria, of course.
You just get in carafe or whatever.
and then walking through those little streets, again, there's little shops here and there,
super clean, but it was clean.
It was clean,
right?
Yeah.
Right? Compared to some of the other.
And not towns. As crowded as a Madrid. No. Just really comfortable. Very, very nice.
You know, Madrid reminded me a lot of Barcelona.
Yeah,
I
in some
sense. I did like the Barcelona. You know, the center road. I don't know what is it. It's not the frontage road, but with the skaters, skateboarders, and then people can just sit and there's no cars.
Oh yeah, we walked to the waterfront.
Ocean. Yeah, yeah. I thought that was neat. I didn't see that in Madrid. But just all in all, just the atmosphere, wise, you know, I felt some similarities, yeah, yeah. But Granada is just totally different vibe.
Yeah, yeah. Kind of sleepier, if you will, a little laid back, relaxed, just kind of chill. It was really, really nice.
And kind of classy.
Yeah, that's a good, really good observation. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. We loved it.
Yeah.
We loved it. Absolutely. So highly recommend it. Yep, it's a little bit far from Madrid. Well, depending on, you know, which direction you're coming from. But it's a good place to stop and have a couple of nights there.
Oh my gosh. If you can. And again, even just walking near the cathedral and walking around the shop area there, it's well worth, you could spend hours just doing that. And then hit Alhambra, phew, you can't go wrong.
So, moving on to our next destination within Spain.
Yes.
Where did we go after that?
We went to Sevilla. Yeah, my God.
Oh, my God. So, that's another... I think the two top... Well, it's a hard one. I love Toledo as well. I think I like everything. But Cordoba was probably... I was just so stressed out because of scraping almost
the
rental car to just the parking.
We'll get to that.
But Sevilla, Granada, and Toledo. Sevilla and Granada are the top two for me
of
this trip in Spain.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Toledo was beautiful as well. And, you know, Cordoba is very charming as well. So everywhere is beautiful. But in particular, if I were to pick two, Sevilla and Granada are my top two.
Yeah, Sevilla just... Wow. What can we say?
The Alcazar.
Incredible. Mm. Incredible.
And it's just, it's kind of royal. I felt classy, I talked about.
Yes, yes.
Granada and Sevilla, I felt that way.
Yeah.
The city.
I kind of agree. And, you know, especially if you're near the Alcazar and the Cathedral de Sevilla.
And Girarda.
Just in that square around there. I think it's called the Plaza del Truinto, something along those lines.
Come on, you're Spanish.
Oh, my God. Just amazing. Classy kind of describes it. I mean, it's just it's
classy.
It's not posh. It's not like stuck up or anything.
No, it's
like
not
that.
Stuck up. It's just charming. I feel like I want to just dress up in the olden time, like
super charming and super. Oh gosh, just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So
and our staff at the hotel was super nice.
Yeah,
and this is the area where So parking is bad if you're driving.
Well, you have to kind of right at the end. Yeah, there's parking. There's underground parking, and we didn't find it until the last day we were there. But it's available. You can find it. It's not cheap. Nothing with cars and gas and parking is cheap, if you will. But there is parking around the cathedral area and the Alcazar area. Which is really where you want to be. There's tons of shops, banks, there's restaurants galore, there's all sorts of stuff. There's a Hard Rock Cafe over there, which we ended up going to as well. And there's a bullfighting ring that's over there too that we wanted to take a look at. They do tours.
Yes.
It's called the Plaza del Toros de la Real something or another. Really, it's still in use. I know some of you may have mixed feelings about that. I was rather fascinated by it, not to watch it, but just kind of look at the history of it. And
for me, it'll be too sad.
Kind of get a tour of it. They do tours, but the tours get full, so check that out early. Yeah,
they were throwing a couple of free tours, and that's where it was full.
I know, so it was quite full.
So we couldn't get in.
But all that is in walking distance. I took a slight detour getting
over
there.
Walking distance in your language.
But for me, quote-unquote, walking means it's, a couple of hours away. A
couple of miles. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so not to everyone, man.
Yeah, but we still had a good time.
But so just going back to this tour that we took. So this one is another one that I pre-booked. Again, get your guide.
Yes.
Right. We will note it on our website, right, when we do a blog on this.
Yes, yes.
It was $182, just to give you an idea, dollars, so $183 for five of us. Consider three adults and two kids in this case. And I pre-purchased it, so we don't need to line up to get tickets, and it was just smooth sailing.
That was the smartest thing you could have done, yeah.
And you just meet with your guide. They tell you where to go for each trip, right? I mean, each tour.
Yep.
And we met in front of this, what was that called? But it was right next to the Royal Alcazar.
Yeah, it was the Archivo de Indias, I think that's where it was. We met on the steps there in front of the building.
Steps, right, that's it.
And our guide just met us there, gave mm-hmm. us the little earpiece, and away we went. We walked right into the palace, and Alcazar Palace, and just, boom, we were on the tour. It was
Archivo
wonderful.
De Indias building, see? The main door.
That's exactly what
Avenida
I just said.
Avenida de la Constitución.
Avenida yeah. de la Constitución. See?
Yeah,
so. Oh, another thing. If you're walking around Avenida de la Constitución, mm-hmm. they have streetcars or trams, little trolley cars that yeah. they're zipping through. Keep right. your wits about you because they're quiet. They'll
yeah, yeah,
come
yeah,
up
yeah,
on
I know,
you
I know.
Fast. So just something to keep yourself aware of.
And if you want to do a horse ride, the carriage,
yeah.
not the carriage, oh. how do you call that?
They had little horse-drawn carriages. Yeah, 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 yeah. exactly. But
yeah,
man,
that's
they're
everywhere.
All over the place. And man, when we were there, it was hot.
I felt bad for the horses.
So yeah, the damn horses are in the heat God. Zone.
Anyway. Oh, another thing, yes. another reason why I like Sevilla was Dunkin' Donuts.
yes, yes, indeed.
Very convenient. Because this tour... Wasn't it? This one is the one that started early. Was this
this
the one?
One was real early?
Yeah,
yeah.
like
yeah.
at 9 a.m. So we wanted to. We were kind of concerned about initially. We were going to park the car, so we wanted to just find a breakfast place close by. But so we ended up taking a taxi to get there the first day.
Yep.
But there's a right in that kind of on the same street, right?
Yeah, the Avenida de la Constitución.
Yeah, in the corner. There's Dunkin' Donuts,
mm-hmm.
and they have great, what is it, the bread, the like a sandwich, croissant.
Oh, yeah, the croissant yeah. sandwich, and the coffee, delicious too.
And the coffee,
too, yeah.
delicious. And then we ordered like a dozen donuts. oh, my God.
Yeah, well, no.
Anyway, very convenient.
So convenient for breakfast, and there's a bunch of little cafes and stuff like that around there, too. So if, you know, you want a little local flair, there's coffee shops that are open, really, really convenient. And the nice thing is to your point, it's just right around the corner from the Alcazar, so it was very, very convenient.
Yes. So we absolutely loved Sevilla. To your point, we went to the bullfighting.
The bull ring, yeah.
Ring,
yeah.
The what was that? Not the statue. It's right outside of that.
The
that
statue was, of the bullfighter.
Yeah, and then it was like. Landmark.
Yeah, it's
but anyway,
it's called
I forget what it was.
Glorieta Curo Romo Romero oh, okay. or something like that. I don't
that's
know.
The
that's
one.
The one. That's,
yeah, that's
be,
the
yeah.
one. Yeah. that's the one that I meant to say.
Yeah, yeah. sorry, my Spanish not so good.
No, muy bueno. So that was
Seville. But did you want to talk about the Alcazar and a little bit of the cathedral
inside?
So, yeah, yeah. what did you think
took
of the Alcazar?
So many pictures. Good to be king.
Holy
again.
Cow.
Wow, the it's just oh my God, how intricate, how ornate again the designs, and it had like a faces, right? What
yeah.
was the significance of that? I forget, but the tour guide will tell you.
Yeah, the little tiny faces
tiny
that you can find in
the
mosaic there.
Oh, the mosaic, yeah. yes, just the inside. Take lots of pictures, and the tour guide was.
Excellent, yeah.
I think that was so worth it. Oh, and in that park, at the very end of the tour, they take you to this, how do you call this open space? It was like a park, right?
Yeah, it was like a garden, yeah.
Garden,
yeah.
that's it. That was just amazing.
That was
the
quite
grounds
beautiful,
were
yeah.
just so well kept,
yes.
right? Immaculate landscaping.
Indeed, indeed. And, you know, even the whole bloody place itself, it started off as a palace, and to your point, it was a palace of one of the kings, and
mm-hmm.
his brother got jealous, and there's murder
and
death. And
there's
death,
a
blood there's,
stain that they so
right,
say
right, right.
that they think that this is where
the brother,
the
blah,
happened.
Blah, blah. I mean, just so much history and so much
yes.
just interesting folklore about the place. And to see it being built, it was... built several different layers, and they'll give you a full history lesson of it. It's
right.
well worth the tour, well worth spending the time and the money to take a look at it.
Oh,
highly recommend it. And our tour also included a tour of the cathedral.
Yes.
And fortunately, the cathedral's right next door.
Yep.
And the cathedral also has
oh,
this
oh, you get
tower,
to go all the way up.
Yeah, called La Giralda.
Giralda.
The tower itself is it's big. It was originally built by the the Moors, the Islamic folks who had conquered that area. It was a mosque that they had converted back into a Catholic church, and they finished this tower, and the tower is huge, and it's like 33 flights of stairs that you can climb up to, and gorgeous views of the bloody town of Seville, and the cathedral itself, amazing. And who's inside the cathedral? Christopher Columbus. Tomb is inside the Seville Cathedral.
Was the place,
exactly. And his son was buried there too. He's got a little tomb as well. So, very interesting.
And that tower, it's worth going up there.
Indeed,
and
100%.
It's like how many?
33, I think, flights up there. 34, something like that.
Madaka, Madaka, is it still not there? Still not there. Man. It's a quite a bit of a you will sweat.
It's a bit of a hike up there, but
in the summer,
absolutely worth it. The cathedral is amazingly beautiful. It's just incredible. Incredible.
Everything about this place is just like, wow.
Yeah, it's Seville. We bumped into people from Boston and people from other parts of America there too. It was just so many people, tourists there, just checking it out. It's
no surprise.
If you're going to Spain, do yourself a favor. Go to Sevilla. The food, the scenery.
Was amazing.
Oh, everything just incredible.
Oh, yeah. We found the... Salvador Rojo.
Salvador Rojo.
And it's in the Sevilla. And it's a
tapas restaurant, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Tapas restaurant, but downstairs is a high-end, like a sit-down.
Yeah.
Upstairs is a little bit more casual tapas. And then we chose upstairs with, again, three kids.
Yeah.
And it was not crowded. We ended up going there twice
because
it was so good. But the second time, it was more crowded. Remember?
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit more
pretty
crowded,
much the whole upstairs got filled up packed, by 11 p.m.
But it was fantastic. Oh, my Lord.
And you are not the fan of foie gras.
No.
And our kids never had foie gras before. We order a bunch of them, right? I mean, bunch of
tapas.
Tapas.
Bunch of small plates.
And
stuff,
then
one of which was foie gras.
Everything was just amazing. The steak dish to, prawn dish to this...
This foie gras, the cheese and the
cheese
figs
platter and drinks. And so foie gras, I don't know what they do to it, but it melts in your mouth. And then our kids still didn't like it because after we told them what it was,
right?
And he's like, I know. But what did you say?
Oh my Lord.
What did you make me eat?
I've had foie gras before in hoity-toity restaurants, and it was okay. It was nothing I would really crave. This was just unbelievable. Like,
it was the honey, the caramelized, like a crispy topping, and then
it was
way how it was prepared, right?
Absolutely.
It was just amazing.
Really, really good
so
stuff.
So if you go to Sevilla, you may have to take a taxi depending on which part of Sevilla you are staying, which hotel.
Yep.
But Salvador Rojo. It's a restaurant. I don't know why it's not crowded.
Well, but I was happy that it wasn't because we were able to get in and out of there and had a great time, yeah.
We tried a Mexican there. I don't recommend trying Mexican.
So good, although the nachos were really good. We have to give them props for that.
Oh, that was good. But then everything else was I don't know. What did you do to it?
Don't do Mexican restaurants in Spain.
In Spain, yeah.
Probably not a good idea, but
at least that was our experience. I actually got sick.
A little bit.
But anyway, so this restaurant, Salvador, highly, highly recommend.
Salvador Rojo, yeah.
And then I found the greatest jacket at Hard Rock Cafe, Sevilla.
Oh, yeah.
And then the pricing was better than the States or Singapore. It's outrageous.
Yeah, well.
The price is like, I don't know why it's so expensive for those jackets and stuff. Vintage? I don't know.
Who knows?
But anyway, the pricing was reasonable. The merchandise, right?
Yep.
The wait was long, but the Hard Rock Cafe, Sevilla.
Yeah,
food
was really
not as good as the one in Madrid, I have to say.
Food was all right, yeah.
But it's okay. Yep. It's the atmosphere.
Atmosphere.
Oh, dessert? Very good.
Dessert was very good, yes.
Muy grande. Yeah. And lots of ice creams.
Lots of ice cream.
The drinks are good, as usual.
Yeah.
So, it was worth it. So then, so that was Sevilla.
Yes.
So then where did we go after that?
did we go do Cordoba? Yeah.
So that was another one that we just kind of like a spur of the, not the spur of the moment, but hey, let's go there.
Kind of kind of driving through. We wanted to take a look at it, and we've, you know, read enough about it. And yeah, it was interesting. It's a, you know, a bit of a distance away from Seville, going back, I guess, east and north. Mm. And this is where the GPS took us, down a wild goose chase, into a very old part of Cordoba. We were looking for
Cordoba Mosque Cathedral and Jewish Quarter.
And we end up going down this little tiny little narrow street that got narrower and narrower to the point where I had to ask my son to actually get out of the car and take a look at either side of the vehicle as we're trying to get down the street. There's a guy on a bicycle who's looking at us like, what the hell are you doing? There's tourists walking back going, where are you going?
And they had to go sideways like crabs to get through between our car and then the wall.
It was not the most, well, anyway, it was interesting. Not only that, we didn't end up going where we wanted to go. we didn't make it.
But once then the parking, we talked about it.
Yep.
You almost scrape or burn the clutch.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So finally we get to the mosque or the cathedral that we're looking for. And there's not a whole lot of parking around it. But there is a parking garage. So great. Let's go to the parking garage. We'll see if we can get in there. Parking garage was tiny. We're in a big vehicle. And you have to go up these little narrow, you know, ramps. And I almost burned the clutch out of the car. I was so frustrated just trying to park this minivan there. I about gave up. I was having a really miserable time. So be careful what you're driving and where you try and park. Yeah, because
the parking in Cordoba near the mosque was a nightmare. So anyway, so once we parked the car, Cordoba Mosque Cathedral and Jewish Quarter, it's an 8th century UNESCO protected mosque.
Yep.
And how was it?
Oh, jeez.
It's the Islamic and then the Christian feature, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Blending. And then that red and white.
The red and white stripe kind of pillars in the
archways. I saw that in Aladdin.
Yeah. Very similar to that in Aladdin, exactly. So the mosque itself was a huge mosque that was built for the Visigoths when they were conquered that part of the world. Mm. And then it was converted into a Catholic church. Now, the cool thing was when Cordoba was taken over by the Catholics, they wanted to preserve a lot of the traditional Islamic architecture, stuff like that too. So they actually blended Catholic stuff on top of the mosque and left the mosque itself. So there's a bit of a battle, if you will, but the Islamists want to use the mosque for praying is just at the same time that the Catholics are using the mosque. So it's really cool to see that you've got this harmonious blend of the Eastern and Western kind of architectures and religious artifacts all kind of blended in together. It's actually quite spectacular. Definitely well worth the visit.
Oh my God, yeah. So Cordoba was founded by the Romans.
Yep.
Right? And then it was the river. What was the river called? Guadalquivir. River.
That's it.
It became a port city of great importance. Yes, that's it, man.
That's the one.
So anyway, it's worth the visit.
Oh my Lord. And in the mosque grounds themselves, there's this big kind of patio garden area that you can walk around in. There's some shops on the outside of it. It's really kind of cool. Get into the mosque itself. You have to pay the tickets to get into it. And you can see the red and white stripes on the archways. And again, the mosque part was preserved really, really well. And then they converted the central part to the cathedral. Mm. And you're walking through the mosque and you're looking at, it still got it well preserved. And then in the middle of it is this massive dome and spectacular. Just absolutely beautiful.
Right.
Definitely worth a visit.
You know, actually, we went to Cordoba after Granada.
Aha.
Anyway. And then so to Sevilla.
We're out of order. Darn it.
I think after Sevilla, we went to Cadiz.
Dang it.
That's okay. But still, yeah. So what I got confused was that, so from Granada to Sevilla, they're either Cordoba up north or Ronda.
Right.
One another, like a bridge.
Yep.
It's supposed to be really amazing. So we did not go to Ronda, but we instead went to Cordoba, then got onto Sevilla.
Right.
And we had 3 nights in Sevilla. So the third night we decided to go beach in Cadiz.
So
anyway,
Cordoba itself is really interesting because it was kind of the central part of the Muslim area in Spain. Mm-hmm. It was The central area for education and learning.
That's it.
And in by the 10th century, it had grown to be the largest city in all of Europe. Then it was conquered by the Kingdom of the Castilla in 1236. And when they conquered Cordoba, like I said, what usually happened was they would go into the Islamic areas and they would tear them down and they would build up these churches. But they didn't do that there. The people of the town, the people of Cordoba decided, hey, we want to preserve a lot of this stuff. Yeah, we'll convert it, but we're going to preserve it and keep it the way it is. And so it has become part of the UNESCO World Heritage Site as well. And it's just, there's so much stuff there. There's so much interesting architecture, so much history there. It's
significant.
Absolutely.
And I got a cute apron.
Yeah,
very Spanish
looking.
Right. Yeah. Right? It's like a flamenco dancing and it says Cordoba. And a great ice cream.
Did you know, interestingly enough, the first traces of human presence in the area are the remains of Neanderthal man, dating back to 42,000 to 35,000 BC in Cordoba.
In Cordoba.
Prior to the Romans, prior to the Islamists, prior to the Catholics. Tons and tons of history there. So definitely a place you want to check out and visit. If you're a history buff like
me. So many places to go, man.
Absolutely.
So I never even knew that this whole area, right? The Granada, the Cordoba, Sevilla, Ronda, Cadiz, Andalusia. Did you know?
Andalusia, yep, exactly.
知らなかったよ.
One of my favorite guitar players, Joe Satriani, has a song called Andalusia. And we were playing that all the time as we were driving through Andalusia.
Oh.
And I kept telling you, this is a song, Andalusia.
I was paying attention to the road.
Right over here. Anyway.
Trying to find parking,
exactly. Yes. Thank you for that.
Yes, you're welcome. All right. So, anyway.
Anyway, so there we have it. The last place that we ended up going into Spain was...
Cadiz. 寒かった. So we're going to talk about ocean not being warm.
Well,
that was cold, yo. Man, the Atlantic Ocean, we tend to not do beach vacation there. So it was our first, right?
Well, I think that's still part of the Mediterranean, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, is it Mediterranean?
I think it's...
Or maybe that part is still
just
Mediterranean.
Just like the entrance of the Pacific or the Atlantic.
So I could be mistaken. But anyway.
Nope, I'm sorry. You are right. I think Cadiz is on the Atlantic side. Yes, it is. It is the Atlantic side.
I told you so.
You're right. My mistake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, I was a little bit disappointed with the temperature of the water.
Yeah.
I could not go in. It was too cold for me.
Well, it's one of the oldest, Cadiz is one of the oldest continuously inhabited cities in Western Europe, with archaeological remains dating back 3,100 years. Founded by the Phoenicians, it became a principal port of the Spanish Navy. It's a lot of history there as well, a lot of really cool things to talk about. Oh, that's the other thing about I got to go back to Granada. When we were at the Alhambra, Christopher Columbus went to the Alhambra to ask the king of Spain for permission to go. So all that's captured there. I don't think he went out of the port of Cadiz, but nonetheless.
That's right. That was the room, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Cadiz is a nice little port town, but it's got some great beaches, some really good sandy stretches of beach that kind of hang on the coast of the Atlantic Ocean there.
Beaches are big.
And to your point, there's umbrellas that you can buy and chairs that you can buy or rent, I should say. And you can just kind of hang out on the beach.
So it was nice. The facilities were there.
Yeah.
Shower, toilet.
Yep.
The restaurant, the food was not good.
That food
the
was
seafood,
fine.
Seafood.
Well, seafood wasn't great, but the steak
wasn't
I had
great.
Was
and it was
good.
Pricey.
Yeah.
Well, rightfully so, because of the location.
Yeah.
Beaches are so far. I couldn't see you guys because I chose not to go in.
Well.
And then so, I like Caribbean better.
Well, the Northern Atlantic is probably for not the faint of heart. It is for more rugged individuals who've got a little bit more meat on their bones like I do.
Boogie boarders too?
Perhaps boogie boarders, yeah, but definitely people who like kind of wetsuits, if you will.
It was a little
chilly. Yeah, it's a little bit chilly. The beach itself, nice sandy beaches. Water is pretty clear. Cool. Pretty cool. So that's the only thing.
Easy to find parking.
Easy to find parking.
There's so parking I think I would around. Have liked the Cadiz better had we done the city tour.
Yeah. Because
I heard it's beautiful.
Yeah, I hear that as well. We spent the whole day on the beach. The kids wanted beaches. We talked about before. Beach, beach, beach. So we ended up going to the beach. And we stayed on the beach, and the kids had a blast just frolicking through the waves. And I took the young one with me, and she and I kind of splashed around, had fun. Me and the boys swam around a bit. And we just kind of spent the whole day there. It was really nice and relaxing.
It was not as cold as the next destination, right? That we will talk about in the next podcast. So stay tuned.
So that's going to wrap up. Yeah, I know. We've kind of gone on and on, but a lot to see in Spain. There's really, I mean, we're just scratching the surface of it. And if you really want to get immersed into it, rent a car and drive. My God, you know, it's easy.
All in all, yes, there are certain places that I wouldn't drive, but still, when you're driving, you're not letting the bus guide take you everywhere, and you're in this big tour bus, you don't pay attention. This way, you pay attention.
Yeah,
you know,
you're forced
to. We were immersed in the culture, and you just learn more and you remember more.
Yeah, absolutely, you know? Absolutely.
And it was just so educational. We had a blast.
We sure did. And we're not done, though. Next episode, we're going to be talking about driving from Spain then into Portugal. And we did some pretty interesting things in Portugal. We saw some really cool, like, beachy resort towns. Man, it reminded me a lot of Santorini, Greece, the first place we stopped at. Then we went into Lisbon. We went into Sintra. Went into this place called, what the heck is the name of that place?
What?
The last place we went to, the last town we went to.
Bagao?
No.
The Sintra.
Not Sintra. The last place. The place I took us to.
Downtown. Oh, the Endo... Argova? No. Evora,
thank you. Yes. Ingorla. Too many freaking places, nonetheless. So
winery.
So we've got all that to talk about next time.
Oh, and so excited.
More. And we still got a lot more places in Europe to talk about. We did a Mediterranean cruise. We did a Baltic cruise. We've spent time in London. We've spent time in Italy. We've gone all over the Russia. Place. So lots more to cover. We got Asia to talk about. There's still more of the Caribbean. I know there's
Singapore.
There's more and more places we're going to be talking about, so we're going to be getting into that next week. Though we're going to focus on finishing up our trip through Portugal, so do stay tuned for that.
Please do.
So
with that said,
on behalf of everyone here at Pure Life Podcast,
thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much. We really appreciate your time. I hope you were able to stick with us the entire time, because there's just talk about. I know we get a little windy, but there's just so much in Spain to talk about. And if you can't hear from our voices how excited we are to share it.
It's so well worth it.
Worth it indeed. But if you have been there, if you've seen any of these places, or if you've got other recommendations,
I want to hear all about it.
Ping us at purelifepodcast.com. Send us an email. Check us out on Instagram. We posted a lot of these pictures up on Instagram as well.
Yes.
And we're tweeting about these things as well. Share your Instagram pictures with us. Share your tweets.
Maybe better beaches to go.
That might be a cool place to do. Yeah, yes. Maybe on the Mediterranean side. Not so much in the Atlantic side.
Well, I want to go to Ibiza. Those islands.
Absolutely.
I'm sure amazing. We haven't been there.
Absolutely. And we certainly will. So with that, thanks again once more for joining us.
Domo arigato.
Thank you again. We will talk to you on next week's episode.
Yes. Until then.
Bye-bye.
Check, please.